Time for movies. Our movie reviewer is Graham Tuckett, and he joins us in Wellington. Kia ora, Graham.
Kia ora, Jesse. Good to be here. And I've got $5 on Torta. I think you had it spot on.
Great, thank you. Hey, how are you? You're sounding nice and loud and clear today. How's things in Wellington?
Beautiful day here for a start. I've been flat out running around all morning, but no, the day is balmy and blue sky and, you know, typical Wellington day, just not the ones we put on when the TV cameras are running, that's all.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, you've been to see, speaking of foreign languages, Petite Maman, how's that?
This is, I'm one of the things I've got to do in the next couple of weeks is write up my top 10 movies of the year.
Oh, yes,
For all the stuff, newspapers, you know, the Dominion Post and Taranaki and Waikato Herald, Waikato Times, sorry. And I reckon Petite Maman is going to be in that top 10 with a rocket. I love this film.
Mm.
It is a French drama from this year. Should have rolled out during the film festival, but I saw it. It's on channel release now, and I'm thinking, I know it'll open up for you lucky Aucklanders on this Thursday, isn't it? You finally get to go to the movies again? Thursday.
Yes, that would sound right to me. For a 3rd of December.
3rd of December, yeah.
With some restrictions, but yeah.
I was reading a lovely piece on, I think it was in the spin-off this morning, on the, you know, the films that you should go and see, and I'm like, This really needs to be on that list if you're looking for something a bit adult and toothsome and just well worth thinking about. Petite Maman is a drama from a director called Céline. Speaking of pronunciations, I'm going to butcher. Her name is Céline or Selina Sciamma. She's a French director. She became very famous 2-3 years ago for a film called Portrait of a Lady on Fire, which picked up awards all over the shop. Before that, she made this beautiful trio of films about sort of young girls moving into womanhood and adolescence, one called Tomboy, one called Water Lilies, and one called Girlhood, all of which gave her big raps, awards, festivals all over the world. If you've seen any of Water Lilies, or especially Tomboy or Girlhood, both of which played at the New Zealand Film Festival in their respective years, you'll know what I'm talking about. Céline Sciamma is a force to be reckoned with. It's sort of present-day domestic drama about the journeys of young women. She's incredible. And Petite Maman is very much sort of in that school. This isn't her going back to historical period drama she did with Portrait of a Lady on Fire. This is set in the present day, or very, very close to present day. It's about a young girl. I think she's 8 years old. Her name is Nellie. She accompanies her mum and dad to a house that was Nellie's mother's. Nellie's mother's house, where she grew up, where Nellie's mum was a young girl, and where her grandmother has recently died. They've gone back basically to pack up Granny's house, and for a couple of days or a week, get the last of the furniture out, clean out the cupboards, get it ready for sale, we imagine. So Nellie, this 8-year-old girl, is there with her mum and dad. We catch on pretty quickly that mum and dad seem friendly but distant. They're possibly an estranged couple, but that's very much for us to deduce. It's not something that Nellie is aware of about her parents' relationship herself. Anyway, after a couple of days, she goes for a bit of a walk in the forest which surrounds the house, and she runs into another young girl who we quickly glean looks exactly like her. Like, we believe she's run into her own identical twin.
Yeah.
And from there, I can't say much without getting into spoiler territory, but that much has happened in the first 10-15 minutes of the film, and I think it's all in the trailer anyway. But as the film moves through its story, we learn who this other girl is, what part she's going to play in Nellie's life, what part she has already played in Nellie's life. And the film becomes, although it's very much a very, very a beautiful little small-scale, observational, incredibly acute and insightful story about childhood, about the emotional landscape of an 8-year-old kid, it almost becomes a sci-fi piece and a time travel piece. It starts to sort of impinge on the territory of, I hate to say it, but stuff like Back to the Future.
Oh, yeah, very, yeah, very, okay.
But a beautiful.
Oh, let's not say anything more about the plot then. That sounds like a cracking movie.
You'll never spot that it is a sci-fi, even though that must be sort of at the base of it. And no, I'm not giving away anything at all that's not obvious from the trailer and the marketing and film. It's just an absolutely beautiful trip. It's an amazing little ride. It's beautifully done. There's never more. I think there's only 5 or 6 people in the whole cast of the film. And you'll love this. The film is all done in 73 minutes flat. Like, it's 1 hour and 15 minutes long. And in that time, it manages to tell a story that will stay with me longer than most of the 2.5 hour serious dramas I've seen in my life, let alone anything from Marvel or Disney or what have you. It's a really indelible, perfectly constructed, small film on a small scale, but deals with stuff that will just turn your head inside out for days afterwards. I've seen it twice now, and I want to go back and see it.
Have you? Okay. Yeah. All right. Book your tickets for the weekend then, Petit Maman.
So that's Petit Maman. Yeah, if you get a chance to see it, it's a little gem, a perfect little gem, you know?
And then speaking of Marvel films, you've been to one, Venom, Let There Be Carnage.
Speaking of stuff that's not going to stick in your head that long, but actually, to be fair, did turn out to be a lot of fun. I think me and Simon Morris don't have that much in common, but one thing we've got in common is we do like the Marvel films that no one else seems to like that much. Like, we're both big fans of The Eternals, which kind of flopped, and I think he's going to like Venom, Let There Be Carnage, and he's going to like it for the same reason I did. It's under 100 minutes long, the first ever of the 25 movies in the present iteration of Marvel. It's the first one that's ever come in under 100 minutes. So I'm giving it a star just for that.
Yeah.
Venom, Let There Be Carnage is a sequel to the 2018 film. Stars Tom Hardy as a guy called Eddie Brock. He's a jobbing broadcast journalist living in San Francisco. Back in 2018, he kind of got, I'm going to say possessed, but it's more like he kind of got occupied by an alien body, which kind of erupts out of his back at inopportune moments and turns him into this kind of flesh-eating demon. So just your basic Marvel story there. So Eddie and his symbiote become a kind of a Marvel superhero, cleaning up the streets of San Francisco, and lots of comic banter while Tom Hardy tries to convince his alter ego not to actually eat people, or only the really, really bad ones. So, and it was kind of fun. Venom was not great. It didn't really leave much of an impression, but I finished up seeing it for a second time and kind of enjoyed it a lot more a year later. This, Let There Be Carnage, this is the current day sequel to that film. It's directed by a great friend of New Zealand, Andy Serkis, who doesn't have many directing credits to his name, but obviously
he's become the go-to motion capture guy, hasn't he?
He is the mocap guy. I was joking with a friend of mine the other day that somebody once told me, I was like, literally down the pub after a couple of pints, and they said, "Did you know that Andy Serkis played the grizzly bear in The Revenant?" And I was like, "No," and then realized I was actually being joked. But it was like, Andy Serkis is performing. He's so good at the performance capture stuff that if somebody told you that he was the grizzly bear in The Revenant, for a second you'd be inclined to believe them, because he's been Gollum, he's been King Kong, he was one of the major apes in the Planet of the Apes trilogy. Like, that's his deal. He's extremely good at it. But as a sort of living flesh and blood actor without CGI fur and fangs, he's a force to be reckoned with as well. He did a really great Ian Dury biopic, the English post-punk musician Ian Dury of Sex and Drugs and Rock and Roll, that guy. Andy Serkis's performance as Ian Dury in a film called, I think it's called Sex and Drugs and Rock and Roll, is just incredible if you find a chance to see that. But in the last couple of years, he started actually moving into feature directing. He made a great drama called Breathe a couple of years ago about a true life biopic of a man who was stricken with polio in the 1920s, but who lived to become an inventor of basically devices that helped people who were bedridden for the rest of their lives. And then he made a really good sort of Jungle Book type adaptation, a Mowgli-type film called Mowgli, Legend of the Jungle. And that turned out really well. And that was all very much CGI creatures. So he's got a short but really good CV when it comes to something like Venom, Let There Be Carnage. He's still got Tom Hardy to play with, who's probably the film's greatest asset, like the comic dialogue between Tom Hardy and his possessor is still genuinely funny. It's a real odd couple kind of comedy movie. But he's also got Woody Harrelson gets introduced to this film as a kind of evil counterpart to our good guy, as a serial killer who's also been possessed by one of these alien things, thus setting up the baddie. So you've got Tom Hardy, who's got serious comic chops, and you've got Woody Harrelson, who, if anything, is even better. And the two of them going head-to-head as the antagonist and protagonist of the film. It's got laughs to be had, you know?
Yeah, so it's worth a... Well, we always end up in this spot with a Marvel film, don't we? It's worth a look. It's a bit of fun. It's under a couple of hours, and...
Look, I'm going to say to all my friends in Auckland, you've got, obviously, you're dying to go and see something on the big screen. This wouldn't be the top of the list. I'd say go and see the James Bond movie first. That's fantastic, and then I can talk about it with Auckland people without accidentally spoiling it for them. The Marvel Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings, another Marvel film, is really good and really fun. There's The Eternals, which I liked, but it's about 7 hours long. And then there's Venom, Let There Be Carnage, which comes in at 97 minutes. Bit of fun, have a laugh. Nothing about it not to like. It's just a good, messy, kind of violent, quite adult sort of take on a Marvel trope. And it does also introduce the character of Venom. We get to see that, yes, in the next, the character is about to be introduced fully into the Marvel Universe at some point. I won't say any more about that, but it does clear that argument up about whether this is still a Sony character or whether he's about to become a Marvel character again. And that question does get answered in a very elegant way.
Okay. You mentioned Woody Harrelson. I just have to note for Curb Your Enthusiasm fans that he makes a great cameo in the latest season. If you're a fan of him, you'll love him in Curb. Yeah, playing himself.
Oh, the people who've turned up with great cameos in Curb Your Enthusiasm would be just a dream cast for any film, wouldn't they?
Yeah, the opening scene is Woody Harrelson accepting an Oscar and using it to promote veganism in a really obnoxious way. And, and then Larry has to convince him to be in his new project, but has to convince Woody that he's really pro-animal rights as well. And so, as you can imagine, that's the premise for a pretty good episode.
That's the genius of Curb Your Enthusiasm, is that you know it's only 2 degrees away from reality.
Yeah. Thanks, Graham.
Good talk to you, Jesse. Have a great week.
Graham's been reviewing Venom, Let There Be Carnage, and that one he really loved was Petite Maman.